Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go. The day we've been anxiously awaiting for days. Yes. Right. Right now, they are debating live from the kiddie table. And I can tell you, it's something to behold. Oh, mercy sakes. Yes, it is. Oh, hi. Hi. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room and be part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the auxiliary to this program during its live broadcast hours, being 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So, good evening to Anatole. Good evening to Jug of Punch. Good evening to Texas T and Tim from L.A. All capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Sparky opting not to fold space this evening, even though he is a third stage guild navigator. The bell has rung, and we are off. Good evening, Jeremy in Vermont. Right now, good gracious, this is going to be difficult. It's been a long time since I've worked with a television going in the studio, and I'm just hopelessly drawn to it like a moth to a flame. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And Bro Fromix is pontificating from the kiddie table right now. Thank you, Jeremy, loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you very much. And there's Carly Farina. I see. Sparky is inside the not the man cave right now. He's inside the home office of Sparkiness due to bad air today, forest fire smoke in the Northern California area. Yeah, we got stuff to do. This is the epitome of what it means to have Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh, and by the way, after a lovely conversation yesterday evening, happy birthday. Happy birthday today to our dear friend Eric Bjorn. I hope he's had a dandy. No, really. By the way, this program is live. It is the 6th day of August, 2015. Yes, Tim from L.A., the epitome. That's what happens when you reach the very pinnacle whilst the calliope plays its merry tunes. The epitome. Mm-hmm. No, this is the epitome of Thorn in the Side Thursday. My God, did we get another entry into the presidential candidate sweepstakes last night? There's people all the way across the stage there, and I think some trying to get across the ropes. Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. I retract having said Calliope, because I know you hate it when I say Calliope, because the word Calliope forms some sort of virulent earworm for Tim from L.A.
Shut up!
It is. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. We've got a merry band gathering in the Horn chat room. You're welcome to chime in as well. And I guess there's a possibility, and it's entirely up to you how and whether we do this. There's a possibility that we may run a little overtime this evening, and sort of just sit here. We'll call the Horn Malloy Skype chat group together, and we'll all sit and watch the clown car drive around the center ring in various states of delay, and offer various and sundry commentary thereupon. I wish I read lips a little better, because there's Bro Fro Mix still pontificating, getting a lot of talk time there at the kids' table. Well, damn, Carol. Carol noting, I'm officially blocked from the debates because I can only access it through Dish Network, and they're not an approved provider. They saw me coming. Well, that's okay. We got Dish here, too, and yet I'm watching it. Odd. Or maybe it's an online thing. Well, I don't consider it a matter of being stuck, but and there's Senator Lindsey Graham, probably talking about sending some other poor family's child out to the desperate Muslim hordes of Indians. Mm-hmm. And I did hear earlier this evening that Piyush Jindal says he has seen the Planned Parenthood videos, and they's up to something illegal. Mm-hmm. Even though I guess he may have seen the Planned Parenthood videos, but he hasn't seen anyone, hasn't seen any commentary from any of the many, many people who have noted that the Planned Parenthood videos are a complete dummied up, faked up, frauded up, ginned up, rubed up, merry little wander down the carnival midway. Mm-mm. So it's 10 minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, and I'm desperately trying to tear my... I may have to turn this... That, if you don't behave, Bob Kincaid, I'm off. Right, I may have to do it. But it won't go on that much longer, will it? No, I'm gonna tear myself away. Although the new debate question that's out is really interesting. Apparently, there's a movement on in the United States for every one of the men up there at the main grown-up table debate to be asked, "Are you the father of Bristol Palin's baby?" Right. Oh, and just as a by the way, we're back at it now. We raised roughly our usual fundraising amount last night. We need to raise 200. We're past all of the have a show on me's. So we're back at having to raise $200 this evening. Mm-hmm. So you know the PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab contribute. Absolutely. And so 10 at 20, 20 at 10, and all the usual stuff that attends that. Thank you very kindly to Chris in Germany. She got us started this evening. We have, with $66.66. Cute. Yes. So that leaves us, because we love to hear Bob do Gazentas on the fly and Cyphron and whatnot, because there's muttering involved. Let's see. 40. $135.34. $135.34 to go in fundraising this evening. And congratulations to Chris on an extension of her contract over in Germany. Congratulations indeed. Oh, dear God. Hey, this is awesome. So I can sit here, and we've got the images, and you guys in the chat room, and we've got Carol out monitoring the Twitter sphere. Carol notes, Sam Cedar said Lindsay just answered a Planned Parenthood question by vowing to invade Syria. Oh, that's almost as good as the hymn that we had last night. Mercy. Oh, a little update on the equipment fund. We seem to have stalled. The equipment fund is now just a little bit north of $1,500. And we're aiming for $4,500. So anybody wanting to help out with that, just a general reminder that you need to put a memo in the PayPal saying equipment fund, so that I can know to set that aside from general bill paying. For those who have not heard, this week we are running the equipment fund so as to raise up enough money to buy two essential pieces of hardware so that I can do some guest hosting and fill-in work on Malloy's program. And who knows, with that as a possibility, heck, I'll offer my services to the other folks on Progressive Voices. Sure. Absolutely. But we've got, around $3,900 to go. Oh, damn it. Randy, got, I told you I don't do math on the fly. That's $133.34 to go this evening. Yeah. 200, 140, carry the 19. Yep. Damn it. Right. Okay. Well, live and learn. We all know not to trust me to do math on the fly now, right? Good. Yes. Tim from L.A. sent a question for the Republican pig-licking debate. He wonders if they'll ask it. This being the 70th anniversary today, would you use a nuclear bomb on Iran if our ally and close friend Israel asks... dang it, Tim. You forgot to refer to Israel as our... partner in peace. Aha! Reverb's back. No, whenever you mention Israel, you have to refer to them as our partner in peace. But anyway, Tim's question. This being the 70th anniversary today, would you use a nuclear bomb on Iran if our ally and close friend Israel asked us to do so? I then added, God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel. With all the gods and calling Israel an ally, you think they may ask it? Oh, and I use my Facebook name, Tim from L.A. Well, if they think you're Tim from Louisiana, they might, Tim. Otherwise, I'm a little... No. Then again, maybe they would. That could be fun. And it is the anniversary. And it is an anniversary that should be marked with manifest shame every year on the part of the United States. I'm sure many of you were listening to Malloy last night when he read that stirring essay on the bombing of Hiroshima. And if you were, then you don't need me to read it again. But some facts are absolutely true, and that is, and one of the central ones is that while the United States was hollering for unconditional surrender by the Japanese were offering to surrender, and had been for several months previous. They had one request. We will surrender absolutely. Just please leave the emperor in place. And we said, no, absolutely not. Unconditional surrender or nothing. Oh, well. Now, we had firebombed just about every city that they had. That's one of the things that made Nagasaki and Hiroshima appealing as targets for the atomic weapons. It was a couple of cities that still had a few buildings standing. Think of it as a 70 years ago version of Donald Rumsfeld complaining about Afghanistan that there's no good stuff there to bomb. Well, that's why Hiroshima. And so we did. And we have, and in so doing, we put a veil of terror over the world that haunts us to this day. And after the Japanese surrendered unconditionally, how about that? We let them keep the emperor just like they'd asked. So in other words, the answer to please let us surrender and let us keep the emperor, the answer was, well, we will after we've committed a couple of more war crimes against you. And it was barbaric. But it was also nothing new. American barbarism in the prosecution of the war in the Pacific had been going on for a while. Oh, good. Apparently the kiddie table debate is over now, so I don't have to be distracted by that. I just saw Brett Baer, and I'm pretty sure he's not running for president, although I could be wrong. But, no, barbarity was the order of the day in the prosecution of the Pacific War. Were my father still alive, we would probably be having a rather heated argument about this. Because, you see, one of the things that the United States did, and did very, very well, was to ramp up the latent and not-so-latent capabilities of this nation to behave in egregiously racist fashion. We did not approach war with the Germans with nearly the amount of racism we did with the war with the Japanese. And as I said, it had been brutal long before this date 70 years ago. What do I mean? Well, the destructive force of the firebombing of Tokyo was actually... or the destructive effect of the firebombing of Tokyo was actually greater than the loss of life too, I believe, than what happened at Hiroshima. We firebombed Tokyo, and on the other side of the globe, a British general firebombed Bomber Harris, was his name, wasn't it? Firebombed another city with no military import whatsoever, Dresden. And hiding in an undergrounder, young American man from a fairly well-to-do Indianapolis, Indiana, German immigrant family, and his name was Kurt Vonnegut Jr. He was, in fact, imprisoned in Schlachthaus 5, Slaughterhouse 5. And so, when the fires in Dresden finally began to go out and were reduced to nothing but smoldering, he and other American and British prisoners of war emerged from the slaughterhouse into an entirely different sort of slaughterhouse. There were also survivors of Hiroshima, but their accounts of that day are not nearly as well known as Kurt Vonnegut's accounts of emerging from the slaughterhouse in Dresden. And Dresden was barbaric. We responded with all the barbarity that we accused the other side of having, and let the other side make us into their image. But the real racist barbarity we reserved for the Japanese. And for a variety of reasons. One, pure racism. They looked different than we. And America's propensity for racism was whipped into a white hot, and I do mean white hot fury over things like the rape of Nanking and various and sundry atrocities in China and the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. And, in fact, the nature of the savage ferocity of island fighting in the Pacific. Now, we had been into the Pacific before. We pacified the Philippines, which, of course, prompted the man whom Kurt Vonnegut referred to as his hero, Mark Twain, to pen something called The War Prayer. It's easily found online. You can look it up. It also, I think, inspired him to write The Damned Human Race. Yeah. But it was barbarous. And as an example of how barbarous it was, consider this. Some years back, the Japanese government Well, I'll be dipped. Let me just finish this thought. Some years back, the Japanese government repatriated a number of Japanese soldiers' graves from the Mariana Islands to Japan. Of the soldiers repatriated, 60% of them were missing their heads. So the next time you hear somebody hollering, and maybe it'll be tonight during the pageant, "Woo, brooga, 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 ISIL headloppers, woo!" Next time you hear that, think, "Headlopping? Yeah, we got that." 60% of the soldiers dead in their graves after the fighting in the Mariana Islands had no head. When Charles Lindbergh, who had his own dubious distinctions, among them a rather fond feeling for that Mr. Hitler, who had 627, 627. Damn it, Gerald. Charles Lindbergh, coming back to the United States and passing through Honolulu Customs, was asked, "Do you in his declarations, do you have any bones?" He, of course, answered no, and asked why, and said, "Well, there's rather quite a lot of them because American soldiers like to use the bones of dead Japanese as souvenirs. There are near countless accounts of American soldiers taking their combat knives and digging the gold out of Japanese teeth.
Uh-huh.
There are photographs out there of American soldiers with macabre stew pots in which they cooked the skin off of Japanese heads so that they could be nice and clean and white and shiny and serve as a proper souvenir." And it went on during most of the... it got so bad that the military had to address it with general orders stating that the taking of body part souvenirs would be dealt with, and I think this was the official quote, "very sternly." Yeah. But we did a lot of that. A lot. Against the Japanese. And so the final indignity was, of course, the two atomic weapons dropped on Hiroshima. One on Hiroshima and one on Nagasaki. And all of that should be remembered today alongside the fact that it is an absolute myth that it was going to cost millions of American lives to invade the home islands. It wasn't going to cost them at all. They were ready to surrender. But Harry Truman wanted to use the new whiz-bang weapon to show the world and warn off those commie Ruskies. The ultimate thorn in the side, huh? Yeah. Well, this sucketh well and truly. It is half past the hour. It is 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and apparently the server has crashed. I'm going to stop the recording and start trying to see if I can sort out what in the hell's going on here. Back in a minute. All right, let's see if we can get something going here. I'm watching the chat room to see if anybody. Okay, thank you, Tim. This is like a transmission to the moon or something. Tim just typed back what he heard me say, so that means we're actually broadcasting. Hallelujah. Glory. And so we'll try to get things rolling again. I'm not sure who's using what streams. You know, we've got three different choices there at whiterosesociety.org. And in the horn area, something fierce. Mm-hmm. Well, this is not promising. Nonetheless, before we give up completely, a little bit of advice as the hour for the debate draws near, and this could be kind of important. You know, we talked about the bingo over at page. Sound card. PM Eastern. Saved my ear up yesterday. Dr. Vivek Murthy responded to a question about drink names around Republic. Okay, now I'm wondering if this is satire, because I can't imagine him saying this. Story's over at Raw Story. You simply can't drink every time one of these guys says something silly, said Surgeon General Vivek Murthy during a Wednesday morning press conference. We've got three candidates who are prone to gaffes, Jeb Bush, John Kasich, and Scott Walker, and then a half dozen obscure goofballs vying with Donald Trump for a little media attention. It's just a formula for disaster. Murthy suggested that people play a safer variation of the traditional debate drinking game by only consuming alcohol when one of the candidates says something reasonable. We're not saying that people shouldn't have fun participating in the rotting vest. No, okay, this is satire. This is, where did this come from? Dadgummit. You'd love for... Joshua Holland wrote it. Responders are preparing for a repeat of 2012 when emergency rooms were inundated with a surge of alcohol-related admissions. A study conducted by the researchers at the Tufts University School of Medicine estimated there were 70,000 additional hospitalizations on average following each of the 104 clown cars, alcohol poisoning, and other drug-injuries from vehicle accident attempts to wash their brains out with bleach. All kidding aside, though, if you're gonna drink during the debates, don't drive. Yeah. So apparently we are getting through again. I hope. And this being Thorn in the Side Thursday. Well. I'd like to be a professional broadcaster about this, but I don't know if it's possible. And I'm pretty sure this isn't satire, because there's an actual news outlet cited with it, namely Channel 2, NBC Channel 2, WGRZ.com, on your side. The dateline is Wheatfield, New York. No, this is a real story. Be professional. I want people to not titter, not guffaw. Needless to say, laughing out uproariously is out of the question. Michael O'Neill is in custody. Michael O'Neill of Wheatfield, New York. He's in custody on charges of having made and possessed homemade bombs. Yep. The charges are that he has made at least 7 homemade bombs. By the way, in case you're wondering, Michael O'Neill of Wheatfield, New York, is a former Niagara County Corrections Officer. Well, surprise. And at the time that of his taking into custody, his home was also found to contain, oh, I don't know, Nazi posters, Confederate flags, and what are described by WGRZ as other divisive items. And by other divisive items, we mean depiction of a certain Ku Klux Klan symbol or picture, a picture of the founder of the Ku Klux Klan, Nathan Bedford Forrest. Well, now. And apparently O'Neill's landlord is one William Ross, the chairman of the Niagara County Legislature. Yeah. The judge decided, amazingly, given the cases that we've dealt with recently, keep Michael O'Neill in custody as a potential harm to the public. And he's being detained at a federal detention facility once he gets out of the hospital. Huh? What? Once he gets out of the hospital? Yeah, because, see, this numbnuts, racist, Klansman wannabe Nazi, he is, of course, white, blew himself up making homemade bombs. So, damn it! No, must not giggle. Must not giggle. Must not giggle. Yeah, I think we're going to giggle. Chairman Ross says he wasn't aware his stepson had the explosives. But the judge is apparently no dummy here and asked the question, okay, you didn't know about the explosives. How did you not know about the KKK and the Nazi items? Huh? Were they under his bed with his Playboys? Which raises another issue. Now, the judge didn't ask those questions, but it's a fair one. Because, see, this country is falling with sedition. Really, it is. It's just that most of the country doesn't consider hanging on to memorabilia of the Third Reich or the Klan to be seditious behavior. There's a whole plurality of this country for whom that's a heritage, not hate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nah, he blew himself right up. Blew his leg off, he did. You all can just call me Shorty. Yeah. He had 7 bombs and was working on apparently number 8. And up inside the... He was taken to ECMC, which is something something medical center, where they finished amputating the his left leg, which he had started doing on a sort of ad hoc basis. He even took pictures of his bombs. At one point, he noted that some had nails in them, another one contained BBs. You know, you can buy BBs at your average Wally World any old time want to. You can just go down to your friendly, handy-dandy Ace Hardware man and buy screws and nuts and bolts and all things, all kinds of stuff that can be propelled by the gunpowder that you buy easily and without any effort at many sporting goods stores and hunting supply shops. Yeah. You know, down there to the co-op, you can buy yourself great big bags of ammonium nitrate. Then you can go across town, and if you want to make it look legit, you can fill up a few cans of diesel fuel while driving your rolling coal diesel pick-em-up truck. And all of these things are quite effective at bomb making. And again, they seem to be, these kind of folks, all over the place. That's New York. I seem to recall a story of somebody else getting busted. In the country recently. Maybe North Carolina? And then, of course, there's... Oh, by the way, yesterday, and did we mention it? You know, there was one... Day before yesterday, there was a shooting at that camp near Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and apparently somebody... maybe the same guy took another pot shot yesterday. Jade Helm! Alex Jones has told him that it's a false flag takeover of the American... Yeah, right. Okay, so we can giggle about a dumbass Kluxer in New York blowing himself up. But it kind of begs the question. For every Kluxer who manages to blow himself up, how many don't? How many of these white guy but not domestic terrorist sleeper cells are there in this country? I wonder if he became a white supremacist while working in a prison. You know, prisons are notorious homes of various and sundry gangs, and the white folks are said to congregate toward, you know, Aryan nation types. apparently, the defense to this. No, really. His lawyer said this with a straight face in open court. Mr. O'Neill was making homemade bombs. And, you know, it's funny. If they were being made by Muslim people, we would refer to them as IEDs. You know, improvised explosive devices. But they're just homemade bombs. Because former corrections officer and Nazi and Klan memorabilia collector Michael O'Neill, his lawyer said, "Oh, he was just planning to blow up some stumps." And now he has one! Oh, my. No, really. Just planning to blow up some tree stumps. Naturally, the local media went around talking to the neighbors after Mr. O'Neill blew his leg off and blew his garage up. Neighbors said he would spend hours on end in his garage. One neighbor said, "We only know that we see him at night, in the middle of the night, all hours of the night, all seasons, just out in the garage, out in the backyard." Neighbor said, "I didn't know what he was doing. If I had known, I would have told the authorities." Yeah. Yes, the buffering continues, and I apologize for that, but not much I can do about it. The clips are beginning, however, to roll in from the weirdness that was the kiddie table debate. Do you suppose anybody's told Brofro Mix and Lindsay and others that was Rick Perry even there, or was he pissed off? But anyway, has anybody told them that it's being referred to as the kiddie table debate? The fun part about these pageants is watching the candidates take one question and trying to flip it toward whatever it is they want to talk about. And so it was earlier this evening when at the kiddie table debate, Lindsay was asked a question about unemployment. Unemployment, you say? Unemployment? Well, of course. Let me address that.
So let's start here with Senator Graham. Senator Graham, 82 million Americans over the age of 20 are out of the workforce.
Right.
45 million people in this country are on food stamps. 9 million are on disability. All of these numbers have been rising sharply in recent years. There's an increasing willingness in this country to accept assistance. How do you get Americans?
What, honey? Sorry, the honey was probably ill-placed. There is an increasing willingness in America to accept assistance. Objection, Your Honor. Counsel is testifying. That's a statement, not a question. And in, she cites all these statistics, and what she draws from it is there's a willingness to accept assistance. Could it be that perhaps disability is on the rise because people are working longer and harder, because they're being brutalized on payday, because wages have been stagnant in this country for the last 45 years, and therefore people are forced to do more and more dangerous things to earn a living? Could that be? No, people, that Obama is locking us all into our dependency hammocks. And you'd think Lindsay would have taken that and run with it. But no. No, hell no.
This country to accept assistance. How do you get Americans who are able to take the job instead of a handout?
Wait a minute, sister. To take the job instead of a handout? So disability payments are a handout now? I'm guessing our inquisitor here has never done a moment's manual labor in her life. That would have been Martha McCallum, by the way. And that whole business about Americans who are able, she's sort of, inherent in that, and tell me if I'm wrong, inherent in that is an assertion on her part, there's a whole bunch of disabled people in this country who really aren't. So she throws a big old fat squishy softball right over the middle of the plate that Lindsay should have been able to whomp out of the park, but, well, you'll see. You'll hear.
I think America's is dying to work. You just even give them a chance. To all the Americans who want a better life, don't vote for Hillary Clinton. You're not going to get it. She's not going to repeal Obamacare and replace it. I will.
Well, that'll make things ever so much better, Lindsay, repealing the Affordable Care Act that has provided health care to millions of Americans. And what are you going to replace it with? Oh, yeah, of course, a free market solution. Perhaps a final free market solution. Yeah, as Carol notes, right, because with my two college degrees, I should wipe asses at the nursing home for 7 1/4 an hour. That's dignity!
She's not going to build the Keystone Pipeline. I will. She's not going to change Dodd-Frank. I will. Until you change the policies of Barack Obama, we're never going to grow this economy. Until you change the policies of Barack Obama, we're never going to be safe. She represents a third...
Safe? Is it safe? What? What is this? He's Marathon Man now?
Third term of a failed presidency. I'm fluent in Clinton speak. I've been dealing with this crowd for 20 years. You know, when Bill Clinton says it depends on what the meaning of is, that means is whatever Bill wants it to mean. When he'll...
What, Edith, huh? I haven't been drinking, have I? Wait a minute. No, that's just diet root beer. Definitely diet root beer. Pizza with mushrooms? No mushrooms in it. No. I've been dealing with these people for 20 years? See, the problem is, Lindsey's been saying lovely things about the Clintons for a while, among other things. You know, Secretary Clinton and Bob Gates are really national treasures, in my view. You know, very good people. I like President Obama. Lindsey said that on the 30th day of March, 2011. Yes, yes. That's some of that Clinton speak, I reckons.
Hillary Clinton tells you, I've given you all the emails you need, that means she hasn't. So to the people who are dying for a better America, you better change course. And she doesn't represent the change that we need. Do we all agree that ISIL is not the JV team? If I have to monitor a mosque, I'll monitor a mosque. If I have to take down a cyber wall, I'll take it. If I have to send more American troops to protect us here, I will do it. She will not.
Takes a lot to render me speechless, but that done it. How did we get from Bill Clinton what the meaning of is to...
Clinton tells you, I've given you all the emails you need, that means she hasn't. So to the people who are dying for a better America, you better change course.
The people who are dying for a better America, would that be metaphorically dying or actually dying, Lindsey? Because see, Lindsey, you're not gonna bring in universal single payer health care, I don't think. And right now, there's not nearly as many people dying for a better America, as there were, say, back in 2006, during that war in the Iraq you loved so much. Back when you were a heroic member of the 101st Pettifogging Brigade there as a JAG officer. Honest to Jesus, I think this is some genuine GMO word salad. That or some genuine Old South mush mouth genuine gibberish. Whatever! Clinton! Dying for America. Dying for a better America. My God, that's the new bumper sticker. Lindsey Graham, dying for a better America. You first.
And she doesn't represent the change that we need. Do we all agree that ISIL is not the JV team?
The JV team, kind of like you guys there at the kiddie table? That JV team? ISIL's not the JV team? What?
I have to monitor a mosque, I'll monitor a mosque. If I have to take down a cyber wall, I'll take it. If I have to send more American troops to protect us here, I will do it. She will not. She has empowered a failed agenda. She is going to empower a failed solution to an American economy dying to grow. Elect me. I know the difference between being flat broke. Apparently she doesn't. In Hillary Clinton's world, after two terms in the White House where her husband was president, she said she was flat broke. Hillary, I'll show you flat broke.
Really? You're flat broke, are you, Lindsey? Now, I've seen the list. You've seen the list. Flat broke. There's not a non-millionaire in the United States Senate. Or if there is, there's 49 millionaires and one non-millionaire, and I think we know who that probably is. Although he's probably a millionaire, too. It's, like I said, it's like ancient Rome. The Senate of ancient Rome, if your income fell below a certain level, the censor would come through and you're not a senator anymore. Well, we just do it a little more indirectly now. I'll show you flat broke. Honest Pete, what does that even mean? I'm stumped. I see. A reference to our previous story. It's about 9 minutes past the hour, and my apologies for the technical difficulties this evening. I'm hoping that maybe they're done now. just maybe. So let's take a little break. The phone lines are open, by the way, for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And you're welcome to jump in. The number's 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. Or the stress line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Skype to Skype, you can jump in at Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. Yeah. And we'll just have ourselves a little conversation radio. Flat broke. Hey, Lindsay, I'll show you flat broke. We're trying to raise $200 this evening, and we are down to $103.34 to go. Thank you, VJ. Thank you very kindly. $103.34 to go. And your assistance is very much appreciated. That's why we say this is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. They rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time. I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy now when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Love my body, can't get near the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything that we've done, your Bobby, baby, kept me from the whole world. One day I'm near Celine Sloan, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. When I train all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday, to be holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. When the feeling good was easy alone, when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. La 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 la
Thursday, August 6, 2015.
Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, advising governors to not obey this ruling.
Polluters and their allies line up to attack Obama's new landmark emissions rule. Majority of Americans support cutting emissions and fighting global warming. The U.S. is finally getting an offshore wind farm. Plus...
Hello, I'm Jim Gilmore.
Republicans get a new 2016 contender. Guess his position on climate change. Go ahead, guess.
I can't. I don't even know who he is. All of those guesses and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's typical of the Obama administration taking executive power he doesn't have.
Really? Jeb Bush? The Obama administration is taking executive power it doesn't have? Really? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, a week or two ago, we thought this was the end. We thought you had finally your yeoman's work in giving us the climate change position for all of these people was done. But no, it turns out there's still at least one more guy.
That's right. We're not done yet. There are now 17. The race for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination just got its 17th candidate. Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia, quietly announced that he's running for president in a video last week. He was so quiet that no one noticed until this week.
And today I'm announcing my candidacy for the Republican nomination for president of the United States. With so many candidates already in the race, some may ask, why am I running? That's a fair question and deserves a straight answer.
Yes, why? Why are you running, Jim Gilmore?
I still haven't found a good answer for that yet, but I will tell you, we have been tracking the climate change positions of all of the official 2016 presidential candidates, and Jim Gilmore falls squarely in the middle of the rest of the Republican candidates. He says he accepts that the climate is changing, but he isn't sure how much humans are responsible for it, meaning Gilmore thinks we should take no action.
So he's not a complete denier like Ted Cruz, who says it's actually getting cooler.
Right.
But he also doesn't think man is responsible and therefore doesn't think man should actually do anything about it.
Well, because if you're responsible, then you're responsible to do something. So it prevents that from happening.
Nice work if you can avoid it.
Earlier this week, President Obama issued landmark new standards to cut carbon emissions from power plants by more than 30% by 2030 to fight global warming. The reaction from polluting industries and their friends in Congress has been swift. Literally, minutes after the president spoke, a coalition of Republican state attorneys general, mostly from coal states, announced that they will sue to stop the new standards all the way to the Supreme Court.
Of course they will. And ordered by the Supreme Court, which already looked at this and said, yes, the EPA has to take action on carbon emissions.
Now, even though the new rules are projected to save lives and save Americans money on electricity, the slate of 2016 Republican presidential candidates also condemned the new standards. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, speaking at a private conference hosted by the billionaire Koch brothers over the weekend, had this to say.
I think it's a disaster. It's typical of the Obama administration taking executive power he doesn't have, and I believe it's unconstitutional, and I think in relatively short period of time, the courts will determine that as well.
Actually, Jeb, why don't you talk to your brother about it, because he knows that the courts require them to do this. That's why the George W. Bush administration did not open the endangerment finding from the EPA when your brother was the president, and by the way, doing more executive actions than Obama has ever dreamt up. But go ahead, Des.
Despite the attacks, a new PPP poll finds that a majority of voters in the all-important swing states are in favor of Obama's new rule to curb emissions. Sizable majorities in major swing states like Colorado, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia believe that climate change is a serious problem, and they support Obama's action to cut emissions. The Clean Power Plan prioritizes renewable energy sources over natural gas, and that's a good thing, because a bombshell new study suggests that emissions of methane that escape from natural gas drilling operations may have been vastly underestimated. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas, and this study found a potentially devastating flaw in the devices used to measure methane leaks. If that flaw is confirmed, the New York Times reports, it could have major implications for the natural gas supply chain and for scientists' estimates of the rate of climate change. Finally, some good news. America's first offshore wind farm has finally begun construction off the Atlantic coast. Although many European countries have been using offshore wind farms for over a decade, this is the first one for the U.S. If not, the Cape Whip has been opposed by wealthy individuals on Martha's Vineyard, from the Koch brothers to the late Senator Ted Kennedy. This one is off the coast of Rhode Island and is slated to begin generating clean electricity within 5 years.
For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, what lovely music. This is the Horn. Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 6th day of August, 2015, 21 minutes past the hour of 7 p.m. here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. I'm Bob Kincaid. And thanks going out to our buddy Thomas, Jug of Punch. You may recall I said that the fundraising goal was down to $103.34. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Yeah. Well, that's why Thomas sent around $13.43. Yeah, yeah. 4 minus 3 is 1. 59 is 4, 91. So, 89.91, thank you. And I'm presuming that what Ralph's just sent in was for the evening's fundraising. And that, 64.91. Remains in fundraising for the evening. Thank you, Ralph's. Thank you, Thomas, who adds, have a sentient, non-mathematical moment. you know, it's fun with this pageant coming up tonight. I think the American political, for-profit media have finally figured out a way to engage people. This thing on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, has turned into Who Wants to Elect a Millionaire. Apparently over on MSNBC this evening, according to Jack in Shreveport, they'll have Joe Scarborough and Tweety and Casey Hunt. He says, I think. The duck. Yeah, that's MSNBC, because God knows, I'm sure Chris Hayes and Lawrence O'Donnell and Lord knows Rachel wouldn't have anything to add, right? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Surely to God they won't leave Rachel out of the mix. So, I guess all kinds of weirdness going on. Labor man says he's having trouble getting the signal now. Never a dull moment. So the lines are open, and here's how it plays out for the remainder of the evening. As you know, our buddy Mike Malloy has announced that they're just going to say screw it and sit back and watch the debate. Pageant debate, please. I forgot to run to the liquor store today. Damn it. And what do you use for the GOP clown arc pageant? Rum? Nah. Brown liquor? Only if it's really bad brown liquor. I'm thinking maybe some, you know, oh, what's that stuff? It's made out in Missouri. McCormick's vodka. That might work. Or Guzzler's gin. Yeah, that's true, Steve. It probably should quit calling it a pageant. It's a circus. Because clowns are generally not pretty. Tim, I don't know. Tim says moonshine. Moonshine. Mad Dog 2020. And that, I'm sorry, that all just seems way too upscale. I'm thinking, you know, old Panther piss from the Three Stooges days. Yeah, the real rot gut stuff. And maybe some for those of us who prefer. Who prefer not to drink and instead to get altered via our lungs instead of our guts. I mean, maybe, what, some Mexican ditch weed, you know, the kind of stuff that you smoke about a half ounce of it and all you get is a whopping good headache? Yeah. That's true. That's true, Devin. Black Velvet, it comes in a Listerine bottle. let's see. Steve apparently is recommending a 40 or 10 of Old English. Muscatel. That's all way too respectable for these clowns. How about just grain alcohol with a little bit of Coca-Cola and a couple of drops of iodine to make it like scotch? Am I the only one who remembers Mr. Roberts? When they made the phony Johnny Walker? Yeah. Whew. Yeah, something. It's going to take something. But we can't lose sight of the fact that this really is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and there are more thorns. Hey, let's run back over to Fox News TV. Radio Rwanda. It is that time of year, after all, and by that time of year, I mean the time of year when certain among us start thinking about things that really matter in life. You know, football. My beloved Mountaineers, for instance, are projected to have a whopping good defense and no offense at all. Which, well, what with this being Dana Holgerson's fifth year and his sell-by date quick approaching and Oliver Luck no longer there in the AD's office to cover his butt when we lose a game 75-72. He's got to do something. These are all his recruits. But anyway, that's Mountaineer football, and you don't want to hear about that. There's also, and I prefer the college game, but there's also the pro game. And Ed Henry over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, he seems to be an NFL kind of guy. And he wants to see the very best of the best of the best out there on the old gridiron grinding away. Yeah. He does.
Well, just one day after we saw Ray Rice asking for a second chance in the NFL, his wife Janae is speaking out. And although Ray Rice himself says he's a changed man, he also says he knows many people may never get that horrific image of him knocking out Janae out of their minds. But in spite of all that, he feels he deserves a second chance to play.
Yeah, knocking out Janae, because our friend there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, she's on a first-name basis with Janae. Mrs. Rice, I mean. But that didn't scan well there in the scripting session, did it? Knocking the snot out of Mrs. Rice. It sounds a little more palatable palatable if we say hitting Janae. But Ray Rice wants a second chance.
We don't need to see it. We've seen him dragging her by the hair through the elevator, right?
Really? I'm not laughing about the dragging by the hair part. I'm laughing about it. Apparently they had a technical malfunction and they couldn't roll the tape of Janae getting hit some more. Yeah, we don't need to see it. We've seen that before. Dragged her by the hair. I mean, yeah, sure. Because, I mean, it's not like it's the shuttle Challenger blowing up with all aboard, all hands, and showing that a million times in one day. I mean, sometimes Ray Rice just had to tell the little woman twice, right? Oh, but do continue. Absolutely. Because Ed Henry's there, and he's a fan.
Think he should play again?
I do. And I'm not going to defend him because it was awful, and I can't get in between their relationship. He clearly was a wife beater at one point, but I'm not going to.
Oh, good. Ed Henry can tell us where that line of demarcation is between active wife beater and, you know, former wife beater. And he's not going to defend him, except for the fact that in suggesting that the guy should be allowed to play football, professional football again in the NFL, yeah, he's kind of defending him. See, that's the problem. Do you ever try to put yourself in the shoes of the average Fox News? And, of course, they have Velcro fasteners. They don't have laces and strings or anything. No. Do you ever try to put yourself in the shoes of the average Fox News TV radio Rwanda viewer?
I mean, did you hear that, Marvelline? He's not defending him. He sure can. Yeah, Ray Rice, he sure can run with the football, though. I think I want to see. Are you talking back to me, Marvelline? Huh?
Right. I'm going to judge him whether he is forever and ever. He made a mistake, obviously. Where I think he's been, I don't want to say treated unfairly, because, again, he's guilty. And he should have faced this big penalty that he did. However, where he was treated unfairly is it got caught on tape. And my point being, there are a lot of people in the NFL, unfortunately, who do the same thing. We didn't see the horrific video. They get back on the field.
So there's the standard. It's the Nixon argument. This has been going on since Watergate. Nixon didn't do anything. All the other presidents didn't do. He just got caught. This is he just got caught for NFL wife beaters. I mean, I'm sure all those other differently complected running backs. I'm sure they beat their wives too.
Yeah, I was just saying that the other day, wasn't I, Marvelline? Marvelline, I'm not going to tell you twice.
If you've never tried to put yourself in the shoes of the average Fox viewers, you know you can. All you got to do is slap on a Depends and scream for more Jell-O.
I said strawberry, Marvelline.
So he's been punished enough, and he needs to go back to making millions of dollars running with an inflated pigskin. It is still made out of pigskin, isn't it? I mean, once upon a time, baseballs were made out of horsehide, and then America said, no, not horsehide. Oh, by the way, here's something funny for you. Back in the earlier part of the program, I was talking a little bit about the barbarity in which the United States engaged in the war in the Pacific in the Second World War. And this has modern relevance. I think it was Life magazine that ran an article during the Second World War about atrocities committed by American troops against either dead Japanese bodies or Japanese bodies that would soon be dead. There's an account in Eugene Sledge's With the Old Breed at Peleliu and Okinawa, in which he describes one of his fellow Marines mutilating a still alive Japanese soldier to get at the gold in his teeth, at which point one of his comrades came up and, in an act of mercy, I suppose, shot the Japanese soldier in the head so that his comrade could go on digging gold out of his teeth, out of his mouth. But during the course of the war, Life magazine, I believe it was, published an article on these sorts of American atrocities being committed. And people were shocked. You think you live in the modern world, don't you? In that same magazine issue, there was also an article about a neglected kitty cat. No, really. And outraged reader correspondence, this is, of course, before the internet and no blogging and no comments sections, just letters to the editor. But outraged letters to the editor of Life magazine regarding the abused and or neglected kitty cat ran at least 2-1 over letters to the editor regarding war crimes being committed at that point in time by the soldiers and Marines fighting in the South Pacific. 2-1. It's not kitty cats. They have a special power over people. So there was nothing new when people said, "Hey, what about Sandra Bland?" While the United States was having a collective hissy over Cecil the Lion. I mean, and I mention that because it seems to be rolling over again into this Thorn in the Side Thursday moment. Because some portion of America was sitting there nodding its head with Ed Henry. Yeah, he's paid some money. And granted, he whomped her. He did. He sure enough whomped her. But, I mean, a lot of them do it. It's a violent sport. It's bound to carry over into the home life. A lot of them do it. See, it's just that he got caught on tape.
People might raise a little thing about it, but Ray Rice, because of that video, which, I want to be clear, horrific, never should have happened, he maybe should have gotten an even bigger penalty. But because we saw that awful video, some people don't want to give him a second chance. Other people have done just as bad or worse, and they're back on the field.
So you look at guys like Adrian Peterson and Hardy with the Cowboys.
Adrian Peterson
saying,
allegedly beat at
what
least
kind of
one
argument
child.
Is that, though?
I mean, they did something bad, and they got to play again, so...
Well, I'm saying then they should all be banned.
Okay, fine. You know, if you're just saying they need to, blanket rule.
Let's create it so that it's equal. And I think, like, Adrian Peterson's back.
Let he who is without sin cast the first crossing route. And again, professional broadcasting courtesy of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. But football season is coming. You may recall the story of the football players at Vandy down in Nashville. There's four of them, and they're on trial. Well, yeah, I know, Devin. Devin says it's a jock thing, aggression is required. And also made more intense by perhaps steroids, who knows. Four members of the Vanderbilt University football team, and you know, they're supposed to be the smart school in the SEC. I mean, you don't just get into Vandy on what you run in the 40. You got to make grades, right? Four members of the Vanderbilt University football team were charged with rape. They are presently facing trial, those four football players. And you got to kind of wonder if anybody's paying attention there. Because with that as backdrop, and it's not all settled down, Brandon Vandenberg, Corey Beatty, Brandon E. Banks, and Jaborian Tip McKenzie are all charged with the alleged rape of a woman at Vanderbilt who was unconscious at the time. Vandenberg and Beatty have already been tried and found guilty, but the judge threw out the verdict because he was afraid one of the jurors wasn't sufficiently impartial. The new trial for those two is scheduled for November. The other two are yet to be tried. They raped her. They photographed her. They photographed themselves doing things to her. They took video. It was stupid. Steubenville was the high school version. This is the college version. Ray Rice is the pro version. So lo and behold, and the folks at Bleacher Report grabbed it right quick. A tweet went out from Vanderbilt coach Derek Mason. He said, back in Nashville and the work never stops. This team wants what some say it can't obtain. Sorry. We don't need your permission. Hashtag star power. Really? We don't need your permission. That almost sounds like an affirmative defense to the charges to come. Later on, having sent the tweet out, Coach Derek Mason had the following to say.
I know you guys know that Mr. Williams has put out a statement earlier, and I spoke to him in a tweet that happened this morning. What I'll tell you is this. That tweet does not reflect this program. It doesn't reflect the university. And more than anything else, our athletic department. We're always about promoting, you know, goodwill and making sure that we don't offend anybody. And really, I definitely regret that it went out and that it was offensive. But with that being the case, I definitely understand, you know, where we're at and in today's climate. And
And the only issue being that, you know, that didn't, that tweet didn't just go out. It went out under Coach Mason's own Twitter account, which apparently some, I don't know, somebody in the communications department there of Vanderbilt University Athletics is apparently in charge of Coach Mason's Twitter account, because he sounds like he didn't actually send it out. I mean, the Twitter handle is at Coach Derek Mason. Back in Nashville, and the work never stops. This team wants what some can't say it can't obtain. Interesting comma there. Sorry, we don't need your permission. The statement continued. The athletics department, as part of the larger Vanderbilt community, recognizes that sexual assault occurs far too frequently on campuses with devastating effect. Now, damn it! The English department at Vanderbilt used to be the preeminent English department in the entire region. Robert Penn Warren, Alan Tate. But that sentence, again, the athletics department, as part of the larger Vanderbilt community, recognizes that sexual assault occurs far too frequently on campuses with devastating effect. I presume, then, that sexual assault does not happen far too frequently on campuses without devastating effect. Damn! The language is just... Aw, screw it. Sex without permission is always wrong and not accepted at Vanderbilt. Well, at least that sentence scans. Far too frequently on campuses with devastating effect. That from the athletic department of one of the most prestigious universities in the South, and in fact, in the country. Oh, well. And by the way, going back to questions of what to consume during tonight's circus, Steve in New York suggests Zoloft and psychotherapy because you'll want to kill yourself after watching. No. That's what the potent potables are for. So as to not. Tim from L.A. asks, what about these? Breaking down the best of the bad whiskeys. I don't know. I'm not sure if these are nasty enough to hold up against these for pig lickings. Old Crow. Cutty Sark. Grant's Scotch, Teachers, Clan MacGregor, back to the bourbons, Old Crow, Jim Beam, Old Fitzgerald, Evan Williams, Rebel Yell, Old Grand Gag, Seagram 7 is not a bourbon and neither is Canadian Mist. Who wrote this? Old Overholt. Now, none of that's nearly nasty enough. Not by a long shot. Oh, wow. Sparky reporting in the chat room that Carly Farina apparently won the kids' table debate, according to... Fox News viewers. Yeah, I think you're getting pretty close to it, Carol. Let me piss in a jar. Drink! It's about 10 minutes before the hour. And, yeah, we've got $64.91 to go in fundraising for the evening. We've been sort of mucking around in the South for a little bit. Well, I mean, we went to New York, too, for the inept improvised explosive device builder. It was, yeah, he's just going to blow up some stumps. Well, let's toddle a little bit east in New York, shall we? Story out of the New York Daily News. Just a big case of overzealous enforcement of the law. Takes place on Staten Island, and for people who live in the region, you know, I mean, that immediately goes, makes people who live in the New York area go, oh. Out on Staten Island, Louis, L-O-U-I-S, Falcone, and this story goes back to June, it's just now hitting the larger consciousness in the media. Back on June the 19th, Louis Falcone was at home. And he lives there at his home with his mama. Things went kind of sideways because Louis Falcone's brother showed up at 4:30 in the morning at the house, drunker than Adam's off ox. And Louis and his brother begun to argue. Interviewed later, Mr. Falcone said, we had words, I was yelling at him, he was yelling at me. But it didn't go on for very long. His brother packed up and left. And Louis turned around to go back into the house and go to bed. Well, that's when it went sideways. Because that's when four members of New York's finest showed up banging on his door. So Louis Falcone opens the interior door, and he's talking to him through the screen door. By the way, did I mention that Louis Falcone is gay? Talking to him through the screen door, and they said, come outside. He said, what for? And that's when Louis Falcone's dog started barking in the house. And the cops looked at him and said, get your dog out of here, I'll fucking kill it. At which point Mr. Falcone replied, what do you mean you're going to kill my dog? So he goes to tell Fido to get out, get back, and that's when one of the cops reaches and grabs him and pulls him outside the house. Mr. Falcone reports, they threw me against the concrete in front of my house. My first reaction was to try to get up a little bit. Don't. Because that's when the rest of the officers jumped on top of him and began beating the living daylights out of him. And as they beat him, they began to holler, fag! Faggot! Mr. Falcone said, while I was on the ground, I had mud and blood in my mouth. And one of the cops said, don't let it get on you. He probably has AIDS, the faggot. Mr. Falcone was already partially immobilized because he'd had surgery on his foot and he was wearing a boot. Well, he wound up back in the hospital because New York's finest broke his nose, blacked both of his eyes, cut up his face, and left cuts on his body, and they screwed up his foot that had already been operated on. By the way, he was never charged with a crime. A neighbor, fortunately, a neighbor got it all on video. Meanwhile, according to police, it went down this way. Falcone became belligerent and uncooperative. He appeared to have been injured in the fight with his brother. There was no fight. As the officers attempted to subdue him, he resisted and spit blood in the face of one of them. The officers were able to restrain him, and he was transported by EMS to a local hospital for evaluation. Only that's not what the video shows. And he was begging him along the way. He said, please, I just had surgery on my foot. So then one of the cops stomps it. And another cop came along and stomped his head. I mention this because it works sort of hand in glove with Lindsey Graham's statement earlier, and more particularly Martha McCollum's statement about Americans being willing to accept handouts. See, Mr. Falcone works for a catering company. And because of the extension of the injuries to his foot, he can't work. So I guess, you know, he's just looking for a handout. You know, that really ought to be, and I'm sure, if I sit down, and I might, depends on whether or not the liquor store is still open when we're done, I might sit down and watch the entire kiddie table debate. And somebody's going to have to say some pretty wild stuff in order to beat the question from Martha McCollum, who is supposed to be a journalist. That's her name, isn't it, Martha McCollum? How do you get Americans to stop accepting handouts? That woman needs to not have a job anymore. Handouts. And I'm sure if Mr. Falcone is drawing some sort of disability payment while he's unable to go to work for the caterer for whom he works trying to make a living, I'm sure Ms. McCollum will be there to think that he's taking a handout. Aren't you? No word in the story. Devin says the cops got a paid vacation, right? Nah, I didn't see that in the story. You mean paid administrative leave? Absolutely. But again, you didn't think the South was going to get away with not being part of this little theme, did you? No. Where else? Talabama. Shorty in L.A. sent me this story. Been going on for a few years now. Little community in Alabama called Alexander City. A police officer there by the name of Troy Middlebrooks. Ongoing litigation. Troy Middlebrooks is 33 years old. He's a former Marine. And at one point in time, Middlebrooks had a run-in with a man named Vincent Bias. I probably don't need to mention that Vincent Bias is a man of color. And Vincent Bias has a white brother-in-law. Okay? And so, you know, white folks, when white folks are talking to other white folks, they just say things because they assume that everybody's on the same team, right? You'll find it curious to know when we get to the bottom of this that Troy Middlebrooks has been cleared by an inquiry panel. Troy Middlebrooks told The Guardian he'd been cleared by an inquiry panel by the State Bureau of Investigation. However, when The Guardian reached out to the State Bureau of Investigation down in Alabama, they said, "We have no record of us investigating this case. I really don't know what he's talking about." And remember, this guy is still on the streets in Alexander City. Let's go to the recording. Because, see, he got recorded. Troy Middlebrooks did. And he was sick and damn tired of dealing with Vincent Bias. And, well, you know, he said as much.
So y'all, whoever said that, I don't want to go by.
Isn't that just charming? Of the black man, the white cop says he can cuss and do whatever he wants to and get away with it. No, I'm sorry. Whatever he
don't do enough. Between me and you, if they were fucking me, I'll tell you right now, he fucking hit me or threaten my life, I would fucking kill that motherfucker, whatever I had in that fucking house. And before the police got here, I fucking put marks all over my shit, made it like he was trying to fucking kill me. I goddamn guarantee you, what would it look like? Self fucking defense. Fuck that piece of shit. I'm a lot different from a lot of these other folks. I'll fucking tell you what's on my fucking mind. You hear me? That motherfucker right there needs a goddamn bullet. And you fucking know exactly what I'm talking about. The way he fucking talks to you, like you're a fucking child, like he's your, like you're, are you his bitch or something? He talks to you like that. Your wife gets out of goddamn jail whenever that might be. You need to get the fuck away from me. I'm telling you that right now. She's going to keep getting worse. We know he did that. We just don't have the proof. We fucking know he did it, man. We just don't have the proof. I know y'all are too fucking scared to fucking say anything, which I don't blame to a certain extent. I know I would. I know who would have done it. We know he fucking did it, though. He's a little fucking coward because now everybody else is going to get in trouble for his fucking doing and blaming on all the other people. Let me guess, he's saying, it's your fault because we come over here for the dog, and then we found that. So is that what he's saying?
No. I forgot what he's saying.
Well,
I know everything I fucking said. If he wants to help me, I'm fucking pretty right. I ain't gonna do none of this fucking bullshit that I'm not paying the fucking games with this motherfucker. If he wants to fuck with me, I'm not hopefully that'll be his fucking last.
What I said earlier, it wasn't, dude, I know for a fact they weren't his.
I wouldn't either. Well, and that's why I said I own up to it.
No, you know, you ain't knowing up to nothing if you didn't do it.
done this. Well, I know a female didn't do that shit. I know a female didn't. I'm pretty sure you didn't do it. I'm 90% sure you didn't do it. I don't think you got that kind of knowledge. Hell, I don't have that kind of knowledge. The only reason why I say he did it is because he's been caught with fucking copper before and fucking wiring before, which never came back fucking stolen. Nobody reported it. But he had fucking wire. He was at the last residency was at Steve Morgan, saw the same goddamn thing at that house, and he tried to damn rip it out before the power company got there. Almost got the fucking house on fire because it was still fucking active up there. Did he hit you in the face here a couple weeks ago?
No.
Never hit you?
Yeah, that man has never gotten a fist fight.
Well, that was half a circle. Is that
what you mean? Yeah, 6 years I've been living here, we got arguments. They never put their hands on me.
Well, after he gave you that ass chewing inside that house, and I knocked on the door and you came back out, not only was your face full of fear, your eyes were fucking red like you just about to have a fucking emotional fucking breakdown.
I just love that this guy says, yeah, it says all kinds of dirty words, and every other word this guy says is the F word. But he's a police officer, but he doesn't know how a person can be charged with a crime and be back on the streets without having to post bail. It's called a personal recognizance bond. And they're used quite frequently. Because it costs money for little towns like Alexander City to keep people in jail, especially when the charges might be dubious at best. You hear him say over and over again, I know he done it. I just ain't got no evidence. Well, that's another way of saying, I don't know if he did it or not. I know he done it. He needs a goddamn bullet. And notice he's complaining about the lawyer. The lawyer. Well, the lawyer in question, and this goes back to my conversation with Eric last night. The lawyer in question is Eric Hutchins. He also represents the Alabama branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, to wit, the NAACP. And he has said that this case requires immediate investigation by officials of the state. Mainly the State Bureau of Investigation, who says they've never investigated it. This might be a good time. But the reason I said this goes back to my conversation with Eric last night is one of the arguments put forward for the overt racism in Harper Lee's Go Set a Watchman, which she wrote 50-plus years ago and was reflective of the time in Alabama after she had been away in New York and had time to see the difference between the two cultures, is that these NAACP lawyers are coming down here and getting the Negroes all riled up, and they wanting to sue everybody for everything. Well, again, that was 58 years ago. And yet the very same thing that just a couple of nights ago I was reading in that book, I open an email from Shorty in L.A., and damned if it's not happening right now, in the same place, under nearly the same circumstances. So I am disinclined to brook much dissent when I say that there has not been as much change in the South as people would like to believe, especially good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Southerners. It hasn't changed. It's gone underground, but not very far. It's only gone underground so far as you can uncover it, metaphorically speaking, with a garden spade. Because this dumbass cop sat there and said all this and let himself be recorded because he was saying it to another white man. This recording, and you've heard the worst of it. This recording was played for the mayor of Alexander City, Alabama, and the police chief. Vincent Bias was actually in the house while this entire recording was going on. And while it was recorded, he actually heard Officer Troy Middlebrooks say he was tired of that nigger being released from jail, getting out of jail. And I don't know what's going on with that lawyer of his and the judge. Well, Troy, let's hope you never come up in front of that judge, buddy. He's a goddamn bullet. By the way, Alexander City is about, 55 miles northeast of Montgomery. About 15,000 people live there. Relative proximity to Montgomery, in a different direction, is a little town called Monroeville. County seat of Monroe County, Alabama. Represented in To Kill a Mockingbird as Macomb County, Alabama. I don't know if Miss Lee has enough left of her mind to appreciate what's been done in the publication of this novel, but with this story, this novel for which some Michigan bookseller is apologizing, well, I think he can retract his apology because it just got all kinds of relevant. I don't know how he keeps getting out of jail. Well, it turns out that, yes, Troy Middlebrooks arrested Vincent Bias on drug charges. And then Vincent Bias paid a bond to a bondsman, probably. And he was released on bond. Oh, hell, he keeps getting out of jail. Something's going on with that fucking lawyer, he knows, and that fucking judge or something. This is plotting, this is conspiracy. And hint, this is not the only time or the only place in the United States where police behave this way. Yeah, we were going to pull him aside on a routine traffic stop and he'd get killed. And that's when his brother-in-law, who had been carrying the voice recorder around with him to monitor the harassment he was receiving, that's when the brother-in-law grabbed the recorder, turned it on, and walked back out. And Troy Middlebrooks
He'd have a goddamn bullet.
Kill that motherfucker, whatever I had in the fucking house before police got here. I put marks all over my shit, make it look like he was trying to fucking kill me. I goddamn guarantee you. What did it look like? Self-defense. Fuck that piece of shit. I'm a lot of different from these other folks. I'll fucking tell you what's on my mind. Now, you know, it's almost a lead pipe cinch certainty that there will be some sort of law enforcement, Sandra Bland, for-profit prison industry question tonight. Cop violence, that kind of thing. I don't think it's on the bingo card, but I think we need, I think there needs to be a square for but good cops, or the good cops, or not all cops are. It looks a hell of a lot like more and more of them are. Let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tracy.
So, are you guys listening to or watching the pageant, or are you just trying not to lose your mind?
Oh, it's not on yet.
Oh, wait, what time does it start?
It starts at 8:50 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, so that would be 6:50 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Tracy.
Oh, wow. 850, not 9 o'clock, not 8:30,
no.
But 850?
Right.
So I just signed on. So will you talk about the things that they should, and will not be talking about at the debate?
I really rather wish you had been tuned in, because you would have just loved the last story, but I can't go all the way back over it. I'll just suggest to you after the program and after the circus, look up Troy Middlebrooks. Yeah. And see if you get a link to pop to either RT or even better yet, Alternet or The Guardian. You're going to love it. You are going to love it. No, you're not going to love it. It's a horrifying story. Yeah, it's just just another day where a white cop is telling another white guy how he'd like to murder a black guy and make it look like self-defense.
Oh,
my bad. 5:50 p.m. 5:50 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, PDT. 5:50 p.m.
So it's only 30 minutes.
Yeah. I can't be trusted to do math on the fly.
Driving a cab can be very interesting, and I typically try to tune out most of my customers, because it's just here. The Alabama cop secretly recorded saying he would kill black man, make it look like self-defense. Oh, okay. I'll say that for later.
a little light reading, you know.
A little light reading before, I go to bed tonight. So I picked up this guy yesterday from the airport, and he's a really cool guy. To me, there he is. We didn't really talk much. He was on the phone talking to his wife, but he was talking about the pageant tomorrow. And he was talking about who he would vote for. And this is when when people start talking about who they're going to vote for, I'm like, that's when the antenna goes up. So
if they say it to you, game on.
Right. And well, he wasn't talking to me. Remember, he was on the phone. And so, but he was going on. He's like, he was talking about Hillary and how stupid it was about her and the cell phone. She should have known better. And he was talking about, Bernie. He said, well, he's a socialist. He said, but I really like me some Joe Biden. And so then the antenna really went up. He's like, yeah, I mean, he's a good guy. I like who he stands for. But, apparently his wife just met Joe, and he's met Hillary. He's like, well, you've met Joe. No, he's met Joe. He's met Hillary, but he's never met Bernie Sanders. And he So I guess, you know, and I'm listening, and I'm like, I find it fascinating, the things I hear when I'm in my cabin. And he was talking about the Republican side. He's like, well, you know, who's the other guy that has that his last name begins with an H? Not Huckabee. I think he's one of the ones that didn't make it into the pageant tonight. Who's the least crazy?
Pataki? Gilmore?
No. Oh, crap. Anyway, who was the least crazy in that bunch? He's like, so this is what he said. I said, well, what about your boy Trump? He's like, Trump doesn't want to be president. He just wants to talk shit. Because, see, you know, when he's back in, you know, and being such a blowhard, it's all fun and games. But see, now people are actually beginning to think that he's going to be president, and they're beginning to expect stuff from him. He's not a giver. He's not going to, you know, he's like, oh, no. I said, he's like, well, they're all out for themselves. I said, oh, yeah. He's like, but Trump, this is when I got to start recording people in my cab.
Better find out if it's a one-party or a two-party state.
It's a two-party state in California.
Rolling.
But I would just use it for my own, just to remember so I could write about it. I wouldn't use, I mean, I know I just tell people. But on video, the thing is, when you get in my cab, you are being videoed. So you are consenting to be recorded in my cab when you get in. So there's that. But I just, the way he put it was just, it was so awesome about Trump. And how it's just about, you know, just to be able to talk shit and get people and get airtime. Do you really think that he really wants to be president, or does he just really like?
Oh no, I think he's no. I think he's enough of a sociopath and a megalomaniac that he'd like to be president. No, I think he really. But now, did you see the story that broke today that's got everybody sort of all in a lather about T-Rump again?
Oh, no.
The Washington Post reported today, Tracy.
Oh, God.
That back
in... not bad, so I'm good.
Yeah. Back in May, Bill Clinton called Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And they had a friendly phone conversation, Tracy. It was a conversation, and he told him.
Wow.
Clinton said he didn't tell him to run for president or nothing, but he did say, Donald, can I call you Donald? Donald, I think you should play a much bigger role in the Republican Party, and well, I just think you should. And so the right wing is having a shit hemorrhage, saying, see, Donald Trump's not really, I mean, he likes the Clintons. They're friends with the Clintons. I mean, he's a Clinton plant.
Now they're saying that he's a plant. So there's now they're saying that Donald Trump's the plant.
He's a false flag.
Well, I take that back. Jan did mention it to me last night when I came home from school, but I had a very long day yesterday. And I could give a fuck. I made myself a grilled cheese sandwich, took an Ambien, and that was all she wrote.
I had grilled cheese this evening myself.
I had grilled cheese on sourdough.
So did I.
Ooh, creepy.
This is getting weird.
What kind of cheese? Well, I did cheddar jack. If you say cheddar jack, I'm going to scream.
I had hot pepper jack. On grilled sourdough, abso-damn-lutely.
Wait, do you butter your sourdough bread on both sides and then grill it?
You goddamn right. Is there any other way?
No.
And a little smear of mayo on the inside.
Yep. Fuck a wild... dust of hell.
Tracy, I think we're kin. I think we can, folk.
I think we can, folk. Oh, wow. I mean, how crazy is that? Seriously, I came home last night. I was in class all day yesterday. I went to the airport to take one ride. I was going to work, and I'm like, I trust this. I took the guy home. That's the guy I picked up at the Beverly Hills. I'm like, I'm going home. I'm tired.
And hand to God, if he was there, I'm not making this up. I really did. Just before airtime, the lovely Agnes asked me what I'd like, and I said, "Dear, I would be thrilled to death with a couple of grilled cheeses on sourdough." And she said, "I know you love them so." And there it was, and paper plate, and this is big sourdough. It's
kind of a big sourdough. Okay, and so that's what, because see, Jan, even though I really tried desperately to watch my weight expand, my wife in the bakery at Arouse here, which is Kroger or whatever,
right.
they have the fresh bakery, and now we are hooked on their sourdough bread.
Well, see, it's the same thing. I get mine at Kroger's under the and they bake it there in the bakery, but I think it comes in frozen or something under the brand name California Sourdough.
Okay, well, ours, okay, and then it's one that she walked. She got it last the other day, and it was still warm.
Woo! See, I got a feeling no self-respecting Californian would probably even eat this California sourdough, but for me, it's mighty good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's dense and chewy.
It's wonderful. I think it's California sourdough here too. I don't know because you know it's
little sort of light blue, vaguely. Little more than square, a little less than full rectangle label, light blue,
yep.
with a picture of the loaf in the middle of it?
Well, ours just has the label that says, you know, Grouse Bakery Sourdough, and how much it is.
Still,
I don't know. So I don't know. I just, it's probably the same thing, but like, I love it. And we, one day, the first time she bought it, it was gone in half a day.
Now you want to know what's good with that sourdough.
Uh-oh, here we go.
French toast.
Oh, yeah. I have done the French toast with the sourdough bread.
With real, live, honest-to-God, 100% maple syrup, no high-fructose corn syrup.
And
organic, no bovine growth hormone butter.
Exactly. Well, or even better, I mixed the butter with the organic honey that I get from the Indian reservations out here.
Ooh.
And I melt that together. Yeah. I even do that with the pancakes or the French toast or my whole cake.
Who got to eat,
and you know what, the whole's got to eat, too. Because I don't know whenever I try to roll out biscuits, I do terrible things to them. So I just throw the whole thing in a skillet, and I bake it, and hey.
That worked.
Gotta eat this.
And that's a stolen joke. I'm trying to remember.
It's from Hollywood Hustle.
Yes. Okay.
John Witherspoon.
Yes. Batty, batty, batty.
Batty, batty, batty.
I think we're showing our age, Tracy.
Yeah, we're showing our age. And we're trying not to think about the bullshit that is going on in this country right now. And if we can interject a little food porn here and there and some, you know, the 1980s movies we do. I just, like you said, yesterday in class, I get agitated. I think it's a time that how when we get older, do we have less patience?
You know, in some ways yes, and in other ways no. I have infinite patience with children, small animals, and absolutely none with adults my own age who insist on being idiots.
Yeah. See, so yesterday in class, we're in a group. First of all, this the second part of statistics is now research and design. And typically that's a smaller class, and there's usually maybe 6 or 8 people in the class. In our particular class, there's 6 people. I being the only black person, period. So typically they break us up into, the teacher breaks us up into three groups of two. And when I walked into the class, now, you walk into the class and there's like three, the tables are like a half a square. Well, a square with a side, one side. So two white people sit over there, the other two white people sit over there. But basically, I just have a whole row of desks to myself because nobody wants to sit next to the Negro. And so, I was just waiting to see.
And I mean, I know for a fact you do bathe frequently and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, right.
Right. And so I was sitting there waiting to see who will actually want to work with me. Right? And so the next class, you know, our teacher announces, well, somebody suggested that we do two groups of three. And I'm like, and I said, so what? Nobody wants to work by themselves with a black person?
And?
Nobody, of course,
crickets.
When you put white people in the spotlight. Oh, no, I shouldn't, you know, they're white. Yeah, it's that kind of shit that makes me crazy. Notwithstanding, Bob, that in the sixth class we had last quarter, I did absolutely the best in that class. I kicked ass. There was this one white chick that was struggling, and how stupid me, offered her help. Oh, that's okay. I'm like, you stupid bitch, you would rather fail or struggle in this class than get help from me. Wow. How deep this race. And people are like, oh, that's not racist. I'm like, yeah. Wrong. Now, you tell me this. If I offered you, if you were in class, and you knew I'm the top student, I'm the one always answering the questions, I'm at the board doing the solutions, and stuff like that. And if I saw you struggling, and I said, yo, Bob, do you need help? What would your answer be?
Yes, please.
Help to the motherfucking yes. Right?
Right.
So why would you not ask, if I'm offering my help, and they say no, what does that mean to you? I mean, maybe she just doesn't like me, but how can you not? I've never done anything to you. I hardly speak to you. So, if I'm offering an A student that's coming up to you to help you with your work, and you say no, I'm like, okay. So now the group that I'm in are the ones, yesterday we had a brainstorming thing, and they were talking about doing an experiment and such and such shit. I'm like, well, why are you looking to do for Asian people? Do you know any Asian people? Well, it's a cultural thing. I said, but if you want to do a cultural thing, just do black and white. Well, that's not cultural. I'm like, oh, yeah. Here we go. Well, isn't that, you know, they do that. Well, isn't that too, I'm like, wait, so you think us walking up to Asian people and asking them anything about their culture is no different than asking black and white people? I should tell you what, I'll ask for the black people, y'all ask for the white people. How about that? You don't have to worry about interjecting, you don't have to worry about that little black people that's here. Yeah, I'm making friends. I just, you know, and of course, when I get, and I was tired anyway because I had been up late the night before doing homework. And it's just, and people wonder why I have so few white people in my life.
Well,
because it gets to that point where people say, oh, I don't see color. And the soon as somebody says that to me, that's when I try very hard not to say, seriously? Oh, that's so sweet that you don't see color because everybody else sees the fuck that. Yeah, that's my life fault. So, and then when they say, is that about race? Well, because somebody actually has it. Well, why are you always making it about race? Well, because I can tell them, because my friend Bob Kincaid just told me about this white man who's a police officer who says that he basically fantasizes.
Oh, no. This wasn't race. Fantasizing. This was more like encouraging.
Oh, God.
or fancy legal word, suborning.
Say that one more time. He did what?
Suborning. S-U-B-B-O-R-N-I-N-G. That's one of those fancy $10 legal words.
And
suborning,
what
suborning murder. Well, you know, he's...
About
he's
suborning. I heard you now. I can double the back. So, like, suborning perjury. Gotcha. Okay. I'll watch Law and Order, damn it.
Suborning. It's not just for perjury anymore.
It's not just for perjury anymore. See, this mother said... See, this is... I had one of the guys in the class who were talking about how much it costs to go to school in California. And he said, well, I'm just going to go to Florida. I said, you have fun with that. He's like, guys, he's like, well, you know, I'm pretty much stuck here to go to school other than, you know, there's not too many other places that I would leave to go to school unless somebody gave me a full ride. So even if somebody gave me a full ride, there's no fucking way I would go to Florida. And he's like, he looked at me and I said, if you ask me why, I stopped him. I said, just, and then the light bulb came on. I'm like, yeah, don't ask me why. Because why? Why would I live in it? This is what I love about people who don't, I mean, they get it, but they don't get it. And they're like, well, you know, you don't have to, you know, there's cool parts of Florida too. Let me guess. But I still would be in Florida. Like, there's cool parts of Texas too, but yes, I would still be in Texas. And, you know, cool parts of Arizona, but still I would be in Arizona. Because, see, I would still be, you know, what is it? I would still have to abide by the laws within that state. Yes, there's those little patches of blue, but when I'm not going to move to a state that basically is open season on people who look like me.
Well, and I understand that. But let's be abundantly clear, Tracy. You're not exactly living in a state that doesn't have its own police problems.
Oh, hell to the no. I mean, let's face it, Bob. The only reason why I don't get harassed when I'm driving as much as I could is because I'm in the cab. And actually the only reason why I don't worry so much about when Alex is out working, because he's in the cab. And the chances of him being harassed by a cop, because they typically don't mess with them when they're working. You know, we don't really have to worry about that.
Right.
But, look, I live in, you know, people think, yeah, California, Los Angeles, oh, it's such an okie-dokie, you know, hippy-dippy, everybody, cool motherfucking bye, y'all. You know, the only difference between most, a lot of spots in L.A. than it is down south, we just don't have signs that say, nigga, you know, don't let the sun hit you before you get out. We don't have the visible sign, but they're there. And the ones that think that they're not there, oh.
Right.
You're living in a fantasy.
This will drive some people crazy, but I'm still powerfully fond of where I was born, in Alabama. Despite,
and you should be, because that's your home.
Well, I mean, so is this. I've lived more years here than I have there. But there's something about where you come from. If I was to pack up and move down there, I wouldn't have health care.
Not for much.
I wouldn't have health care.
You wouldn't have health care.
Because, see, if you're born in Alabama, thanks to conservative, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, family values, right-wing politics, you're born under a curse because you're going to live without access to health care unless you are blessed, I guess is the word, enough to work for a company that provides it. And there just aren't that many of those kinds of jobs down there.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it would probably drive me batshit crazy because, for instance, the county where I grew up has a district attorney who is trying to take, who is trying to have the parental rights terminated of a pregnant woman who has not even, of course, given birth yet and wants to get an abortion. And they've got her in, and they've got her in jail. She wants an abortion. She's pregnant. The clock is ticking, and he has filed a petition to take custody of the child before the child is even born.
Well, Bobby Jindal, you know,
Piyush was at the kiddie table debate, Tracy, and he said, I've seen the Planned Parenthood videos, and I'm sure the law is being broken because what they're doing is they're partial birth abortioning the babies, and then they're chopping them up for parts. No shit, he said that.
Is he claiming to be Christian?
He's Christian. He's an amateur exorcist. He's Roman Catholic and very faithful, and he worries about the little fetuses, but not so much about prisoners on death row. Them you can kill.
I'm very excited about because Jay and I are going on a cruise in December, and we're leaving out of New Orleans. We'll be in New Orleans 3 days before, 2 days before the cruise, and 2 days after.
By the way, word coming in from Shreveport, Louisiana, Jindal sucks. That is all. Thanks, Jack.
Hey, that's where my folks is from, Shreveport, by the way.
Really?
Not in fashion. Did I say that right, Frosty? I think I told you when I visited the first time, a couple of years back, and, we went up into the, the Blue Ridge Mountains and all that, quite by accident, but it was, and I've been listening to you all these years, and when we were driving up to North Carolina, and I'm looking up these creeks and these rivers and the trees, and it was snowing, and it was just so beautiful, and it clicked about mountaintop removal and what is happening in this country. Because I can listen to you all the time, and I can Google Appalachia. I can Google that shit all day long and look at the beautiful pictures and stuff like that. But until you've been there, it doesn't resonate. It doesn't resonate. And when I saw how beautiful it was, then I'm like, oh my God. She's like, why are you crying? I'm like, you were. I couldn't explain it to her. She doesn't listen to the show, so she wouldn't get it. I mean, I wasn't like bawling, but I teared up a little. And because I was able to think of, this is what it's all about. This is why he loves this soul. Freaking beautiful. And then you have the assholes who can give a rat's ass about it and what's the answer? Why? Money. That's it. And it's not like they even need any more money, Bob. Do they? How much is enough? You read out that, Matt. How much money is enough?
You know what? That's the one debate question that I don't think any of those Republicans can answer.
I would love that question. If there was ever a question to be asked, it's like, okay, guys, Scott Walker make the cut?
Oh, yeah. He's at the grown-up table.
Oh, he's at the grown-up table. Okay. Because it's like, what does the Bible say? What does what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
What profiteth a man that he gain the whole world and lose his own? Right, exactly.
And it's, this is what I, those vacation Bible studies, that, vacation Bible school books and those Bible drills. I don't remember the Bible like I used to, but there's certain verses. I mean, I used to be able to, when they say quote chapter and verse, I used to be able to do that. But, I'm out of practice. But, every so often, even as much as you try to forget the Bible, some people, every so often a Bible verse will kick in, or it'll match a situation, you're like, yeah, damn it. I was trying to forget that, but when I had a teacher, he'd already called the Bible.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a minute here. We're gonna go overtime a little bit this evening as the pageant begins, the circus.
So you're gonna actually listen to the pageant?
What we're gonna do is bring the Friday on the Front Porch crowd on, for Born in the Friday Front Thursday thing, and so the Skype gang is on hand. We have Rick and Carol Abel and Larry and Tim from L.A. and Sparky in the room. Hey, gang.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Rick.
Hey,
Bob.
Hey.
Hey, Bob. Hi, Bob. Oh, boy.
Good evening, Sounds Sparky.
Hey, Sparky Doc.
Hey, I saw that bingo card online on Facebook, Bob. There was one word missing from it. Mexicans.
Yeah. Well, there's multiple cards.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I saw one that had illegals on it, and I said, well, maybe it should say Mexicans instead, because, T. Rump loves to talk about that.
Well, he does indeed.
Yeah.
Are we going to actually have the transmission of the broadcast on while we talk, or are we just going to
No, I can't do that.
Okay.
That'd be kind of illegal.
How do we access that online? Is that available online or not?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you, Sparky.
Yeah.
Okay, I was having problems with my mic. I've got a link that I'm watching it on.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it'll work for you. It wouldn't work for Carol in Australia.
Oh. You watch it right now?
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly's on with some, believe it or not a blonde talking head.
Oh.
Brunette talking head.
Oh, my God. Oh, it must be Gavin Newsom's former wife or whatever, ex-wife, I think.
I don't know. But
you're kidding.
No, she's like a big talk show. She's a conservative now, I think.
there's a link I'm watching the live stream on. And with Windows 10, I can do task view and put it and the Skype chat and everything up together on a split screen.
Oh, I see. You've got that link there, Fox News live stream. Okay. Yeah. You just posted that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see what I can find on that.
Did you get Windows 10 on that computer, Rick?
Not the one at the office. I think I have it at home now.
Oh.
Yeah. I see. It seems to be working for me. Maybe they just don't like it in Australia. Who knows?
I'm using Stream 2.
Oh, okay. No, it says you can't watch this content as a guest.
Say what?
Yeah, I'm saying having the same thing. Rick, can you explain?
Well, we're not members. I guess we're just guests, Larry.
I'm not a member either. I'm watching it.
Do you have to have a Flash browser?
Oh, maybe
yeah.
That's... Okay. I mean,
watching it in Firefox.
Okay. Well, I don't think I have it in Firefox. Let's see here.
It's ready. It's getting ready to start right now.
Oh my!
So how was the kids' table debate? Do you hear anything about that, Bob?
The only thing so far is Lindsay's little moment of Hillary obsession.
Yeah, what was he talking about? Her undergarments? What was he talking about?
No.
She had them or what?
It's actually hard to describe, frankly. It's more about the question that was posed to Lindsay by one of the inquisitors who wanted to know, what do we have to do to quit to make Americans quit accepting handouts? I wish I was joking. I'm not.
Like the welfare that's no longer in force, for example?
Thereabouts.
Yeah. And he somehow answered it with a Hillary spin.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, because Hillary.
Yeah. As far as tonight's debate goes...
I'm sorry, I had to yell. I've been driving. I'm sorry.
Well, you won't be the last.
Yeah.
Looks like they got all the political color guys on there. Brett Hume's on there or whatever.
Got Negroes? Kidding.
I haven't seen any Negroes yet, Tim.
You said they got color guys, and so. Yeah.
Well, you know, like play by play. There's. Now they got the blondes on. I saw a shot of Megan. That was Kristen Powers.
Oh my goodness. So okay, well, so are they going to talk again? Or did this, you know, glad having and stuff like that.
They're doing pregame color, Tracy.
Okay, the color commentary. Okay.
Yeah, before the event starts, you know, they get hyped up.
A color commentary is not the right word, James.
That's the right word.
Yeah, Tracy.
White commentary.
I just want to thank you for giving me now nightmares, because I just finished reading the story, a brief synopsis about Troy Bilbrook, and because I thought you were going to, you know, I was going to get to that part where he was fired. So now he gets to keep his job.
Right,
and
yeah, he's still protecting the upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians of Alexander City, Alabama.
But he was just joking. Oh, he was just talking.
Yeah, it's some talk.
This is what I would love. Now, if I, and you know how I get when I just get upset with white people, but if I went on a tirade and said I wanted to, I mean, I'm not going to say it because somehow it would get back that I said this and then I'll be in jail. But if I went on an expletive-ish tirade to go have some tape about killing anybody, whatever, I would be under investigation. And if I was definitely, like, this helps, this is a job that I do, you know, taking white people, I would honestly say that 80 to 90% of my customers are white. Hey, just like when I was accused of being a racist because I called attention to white privilege, and I'm the racist. So yeah.
Well, you're probably ask a Fox viewer, and you're probably a race hustler.
Now, what's a race hustler?
I don't know, but Bill O'Reilly gets real worked up about them. It's apparently anybody who ever mentions that this country has a race problem.
You mean like if I play the race card kind of like that? Or is that different?
Yep. Only race hustlers play the race card.
Okay.
Like Reverend Al, for example.
Right. It's race hustler C. Sharpton, comma, Reverend Al.
Hello?
Hey, Alex.
Hey. Oh, you mean like I was doing like shucking and jiving?
Yeah, and by the way, you're being reminded by Shorty from L.A. Make sure you listen to the audio that goes with the Troy Middlebrook story too when you get time. Because
I can only do so much.
I know. Just later. That's all. Hey, Alex, what's happening?
Okay, so,
Can I do that after the glass, the second glass of wine?
I'd do it about after the sixth.
Okay.
Introductions are ongoing.
Yes. Alex,
the second glass of wine usually comes with an Ambien, so I might be able to do it that way.
I wouldn't want to do it before the Ambien because there'd be nightmares. Alex has joined the room. Good evening, Alex, out there in Arizona. Stan, how are you?
Hello, everybody. I am raring to go to, I took my Tums, my Lanta, and all my stomach medicine and headache medicine in preparation.
Yeah, I'm all set with my Pepto-Bismol shooters. That's what I finally landed on instead of rot gut liquor or Mad Dog or whatever.
That's for afterwards.
Mad Dog 2020.
Yep, and there they all are.
You know
something, Dunk? I was finally able to get a video feed, but I have all these boxes in front of it. I need to install all this stuff.
Let's leave the technical conversation to the typed chat side of things, Larry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. But see, you guys can have audio up. I can't.
Because you're broadcasting.
Bingo.
Okay.
Yeah,
Perhaps one of our viewers could turn up the audio so we could all hear it, and that way Bob's not broadcasting, but somebody else is, huh?
No, that would come out.
Nope.
Okay.
It's still on the air.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just looking for loopholes. You know, I'm an attorney. What can I say?
I understand.
My stream is hanging up on me.
Oh, is it?
We have enough trouble trying to keep Bob on the air legally and all that. We do not want to give the FCC any reason or anybody to say, oh, so you're, oh, God, I keep this here now. And no, please, God, don't.
Fair use.
God, giving. Yeah, let's see. We got Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, Marco the Blonde. Rubio is blonde in Spanish. Ben Carson.
Oh God. Ben, I hate myself and all
Scott
black
Walker,
people are stuff helping.
Scott Walker, T Rump, Jebbia.
The Huckster. Huckster.
Ben Hucksterby.
No, he was at the kids' table.
Oh, okay.
The kids' table, that's hilarious. Do they have little chairs?
Megyn Kelly has announced that Carly Farina opened up a can of whoop-ass in the kiddie table debate.
Aw, how precious. Oh, that's another thing. The guy in my cab yesterday, he said... I'm not going to say exactly what he said about Carly, but he's like, I just want to know what this guy used to do, because he, I guess apparently was at HP when Carly was there.
Running it into the ground, yeah.
And he said his ass was still bleeding from that. I'm like, oh.
God damn server.
Oh, God. It was a rare time that I really wish my cabs were... Crab Live has gone longer, because just when he got off the phone and he was starting to talk, and I'm like, oh, I wish this was going to last longer, because it would have been a fun conversation.
Yeah, I'm so upset about all this, I don't even think that I can laugh at it. But anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Okay, I think they just sent all the wives off to the soundproof booth.
Bulletproof as well, right?
Ah, see, yeah. And when we're all rooting for Tim's question.
What is that?
If our good friend and partner in peace, Israel, asked us to nuke Iran, would you?
Would we do it?
Given that this is the 70th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima.
Hiroshima.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, they're doing the top of the hour intro now.
Does everybody have their popcorn? And their
no.
I have my Thorazine darts and my U-shaped blowgun.
I'm doing peanuts.
I got X-Lax.
So, I have a question, you guys.
Well, wait. Okay, hold up. This is important. The Hitler pool was 6:27 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time this evening. I didn't know I was off the air at the time. I think we have to open up a new Hitler poll, seeing as how, you know, it's the Repiglicans and Hucksterby's there, and I don't know, ring of the cowbell for whoever has the correct time for when Hucksterby says ovens.
I see. Say 6:43 or 9:43 your time.
Well, just write it down and if it happens, you're the lucky winner. Oh, he had the T rump is scowling and now he's waving and saying thank you. And I think I need to readjust the color on this set, because he was T rump was looking like he'd been involved in a radiation accident.
It is August 6th.
And Hucksterby is the same color as the red background behind him. Nothing matches Ben Carson.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
Is he possessing Hucksterby tonight, Bob? Is that why he's red?
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Bob, it is August 6th, and, you know.
That was
a call. Boo hiss for new Chris Christie.
Yeah. Oh, standing ovation for John Kasich. Homeboy, you know, it's Ohio. Double cowbell ring on the first mention of LeBron James.
Well, he's an exceptional Negro, but he's okay. He's not like the rest of us.
Oh, they call it the home field advantage, huh?
Oh, Brett Baer, home of the Cavaliers. I think we're getting close. Oh, there it is. 9:03 p.m., LeBron James, Brett Baer. Wait, I said it. Double cowbell ring.
You now have echo, don't you? A reverb. Oh,
no, I don't have the reverb on.
Oh, oh boy.
They're getting them out of the gate fun. Who here pledges not to run an independent third-party campaign?
Ooh.
And Trump was the only one who raised his hand.
Pledges not to?
Yeah.
Well, that's the greatest fear. I think that's Republicans' greatest fear, except maybe for having Trump as the nominee, you know? That he'd run the third-party campaign. I think everybody's going to gang up on Trump. That's my guess. To try to take him down.
They're going to have to. They're going to have to.
Yeah. How many points is he ahead of everybody else?
Oh, Trump already weaseled. He said, if I'm the nominee, I won't run a third-party campaign. What a dick.
Hey, what do you think about that? I think you're overly...
Oh! Rand Paul and that thing on his head just brought up the Clintons.
Who's drinking?
Nobody said anything about Benghazi yet?
Oh, he said, Rand Paul says he buys, Trump buys politicians, and Trump says, well, I've given him plenty of money. Somebody's going to hit somebody with a folding chair pretty soon. This is wrestling. And the audience is already hooting like a Jerry Springer audience.
Trashy, huh?
Oh, first question to Dr. Carson. Oh, man, this is a takedown. Megyn Kelly just ate his lunch, pointing out all the things that he doesn't know. I think if with a little more time, she might have called him uppity. Oh, we're all watching.
Is she a journalist or just a personality?
She's a talking head. Talking head.
Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
Hello.
Are you all tuned in and ready to watch to watch your governor?
Oh, wait. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Yes.
Yeah, I had their show on and this on. No, I'm not tuned in yet because I need a cable provider.
Well, I'm told by Ron and Raleigh that you can listen, you can live stream it in delay via Sam Cedar's site at majority.fm.
Okay. I will try to find that.
Majority.fm.
Cable provider, so maybe I can log in under her. So we'll see. How is it going so far? Awesome, huh?
Oh, like I said, the audience is hooting like a Jerry Springer. So they made the stage in 20s.
All right, I'm going to mute it. And hello, everybody.
Oh, hey, Jenny.
Hey, Jenny. Or Jennifer.
I like your icon.
Oh, Jenny's?
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Yeah, Jenny's a painter.
Oh, okay. Is that a self-portrait, Jenny?
I don't know. What is it of?
Your avatar.
It's a woman?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a self-portrait. It's an egg tempera painting. Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Very cool.
Thank you very much.
I have zero artistic talent.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, well.
You probably have a job and make money.
Well, you know, hey, it's probably more fun being an artist, you know?
Well, I try to tell myself that.
Yeah. Are you from Wisconsin or Minnesota or?
Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard you before. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So are you watching the show?
Oh, we're getting the first question for Jebya.
Oh, wait, nope.
Oh, man, that's what I should have done. I should have picked someone. Not have an open question to everyone. Or do they do open questions?
Is this on Fox News or is it just regular Fox?
No, it's Fox News.
Oh, okay.
They opened the opening question to Jebya was one of your mama said the last thing when America needs is another Bush presidency. I think that was from his mama.
Yeah, it was.
That or the Quaker Oats man. I'm not sure which.
Wasn't that from Pickles?
No, I think it was Babs. You know, Beautiful Mind Babs. Oh, first question for Trump. Here it comes.
Yeah, pickles. Oh, I know what I could do.
Oh, a Rosie O'Donnell slur. You've called women fat pigs, slobs, and disgusting animals. And he said, only Rosie O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
I like Rosie. She's cool.
I think he thinks this is an episode of The Apprentice. It sounds like the guy is going to be try to be as funny as possible, Bob, you know?
I'm sorry, say again, Rick.
I think Trump maybe thinks this is an episode of The Apprentice as opposed to...
Yeah, he's made it a reality show, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, who wants to be president, I guess you could call the show.
Well, no, who wants to be a millionaire nominee?
There you go. Yeah, right.
A lot of millionaires, though.
A lot of them are. Yeah, probably at least half.
With the example of Trump.
Yeah, if any of you find a streamable stream, let me know, please. Thank you.
What you could do, if you have DirecTV, Larry, you can sign into your account and watch it that way online. You can stream it.
I just have Comcrap. I'm sorry.
You can do that too. You can use any provider. You can stream using your provider if you have your access ID or your email and then your password.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember my password.
Ooh, he just put the ball back into Megyn Kelly's court, saying that she had been ruder to him than he has to her. These are millionaires arguing with each other. I know you are, but what am I?
Isn't Trump a billionaire?
Well, yeah.
Hmm.
Now, if this debate is co-sponsored with Facebook, can't you somehow view it on Facebook as well?
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
Hmm.
I tried to log in with Facebook and nothing happened. Because it said log in, and I tried Facebook, and yeah.
Ah, it's Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz's turn. And he says he called Mitch McConnell a liar because America needs someone who will speak the truth.
Is this a real debate, or is this just...
No, it's a circus. It's a clown car parade. It's a pageant. Oh, and they just put up on the font. Born in Calgary in 1970. Of course, probably most of the Fox viewership thinks that Calgary is in Indiana. Oh, it's Chris Christie's turn.
I'm hungry.
Now, no fat shaming.
Hey, Bob?
Yeah?
Roger in Minnesota just messaged me. Let people know that the audio in this can be heard on TuneIn Radio on the Fox News talk stream, either through the app or TuneIn Radio's website.
Okay.
Ooh. I don't want to hear it anyway. Big deal.
Yeah, well, if you don't see it on TV, it didn't happen, right?
And Sam Cedar has an audio stream going on YouTube.
Hmm.
Yeah, and at Majority FM.
He's drinking beer.
How come we could do it and you can't?
Oh, probably because I didn't make plans to do it and I fret about being sued.
What about them?
Maybe they got insurance.
Oh, okay. But fair use don't apply to you?
They're not using the video, Tim.
Hmm.
But Fox's own stream is there at TuneIn.
it's also live on Foxnews.com too.
Oh, here it is. Snotwalker. Abortion question.
Isn't that a drink one or a circle or whatever?
Not really.
Oh. No, that's free life.
Right.
Free birth or what? That's a square. How many liberals there are right now who are drunk?
Oh, he's running on the fact that he's already defunded Planned Parenthood. And the Ohioans in the audience go wild.
Whoa.
They weren't defunded.
Tried to.
And Fox just told the world he's the son of a preacher man.
This is the Huckster Meter. Who is this? Or Kasich. Kasich?
Kasich? It was Walker.
That was Walker.
Oh, Snot. Okay.
Well, these people, that's, yeah, I guess I'm just...
800 programs in the state budget.
Okay, the Huckstorby has just claimed that a baby is a human being at the moment of conception and wants the president to invoke the 4th, the 5th, and 14th Amendments to defy the constitutional rulings of the United States Supreme Court.
4th, 5th, and 14th.
The 5th and the 14th.
Boy, what a legal genius. Amazing.
Instead of ripping up their body parts and selling them like they're parts of a car, I think.
Hey, that could be slander. It wasn't true. Oh, well.
It may get a little ugly further on just because of something that was published today. Politico has the story, and it's the story of Trump and Jebya. And you may recall that Trump recently said that he was only nasty to people who were nasty to him first. Well, Politico has today published statements that Jebya made to a big donor that he ran into recently about Trump. Seriously, what's this guy's problem? And went on to refer to him as a buffoon, a clown, and what would Mother Bush say? An asshole.
Jebya said that, huh?
Yeah.
What a class act. You know?
Yeah. So Christian. Please ask my question, Fox News. I want to be famous.
Oh, you actually... Right?
Communism, Medicaid expansion question.
Yeah, I actually submitted a question yesterday.
Well, I'm just going to listen to everybody's commentary because I'm surprised that... Well, anyway.
Oh, you expanded Medicaid. Why won't you expand every government program?
Good question. expand taxes, expand.
Oh, first candidate to mention prisons. Mention of the working poor, because we know he cares, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and the local crowd loves the local boy. I think this is the lightning round. Immigration. Oh, boy.
Another square.
How far are you from bingo, Tim?
Oh, I don't have my bingo card with me. I got lost when the server crashed here in school. I just remember the squares' names.
Oh, and hey, by the way, just while we're at it, if the Horn Family Commune congregation is still out there, we stand at $64.91 on fundraising for the evening. So, there's that. Oh, Jebya tells us he's written a book. For God's sakes, Jebya, don't speak Spanish. Don't speak Spanish, Jebya. They're liable to rush the page and rush the stage and rip you into a million tiny pieces. They don't like, or maybe Trump will do it with his own bare fangs.
Hey, does Jeb have Secret Service protection because of his dad and brother?
No. And it's Jebya, not Jeb, Tim. He is Jebya.
Jebya.
Yes, he needs to wear his brother like a cheap suit.
Do you see where W got called to jury duty?
No, that ought to be a hoot.
Oh, it's already... People were posting pictures of him online.
Did he show up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose he's the perfect juror for a lot of these defense attorneys. Well, they want somebody as stupid as possible.
He's a lawyer's dream.
Yeah.
Oh, Trump is making his Mussolini downscowl face.
What they're saying on Skype. I'm going to Skype on Twitter.
Honestly, God, he must have been in the tanning bed 3 seconds before they called him to the stage. He's getting redder.
Who, Trump?
Yeah, T-Rump. Do not wear a red tie with that face.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure it's not my TV. We're going to build a wall around the world. But he wants a door in the wall.
You mean there's going to be a border around Canada, too? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, those Canadians are just like, you know, they're just dying to get into the U.S., you know?
I think the wall's going to be against us.
Keep us in. Keep us in our own country.
Goddamn Canadians.
Yeah. Oh, he's used the stupid word. And he's blaming the Border Patrol for telling him the Mexican government is sending rapists across the border.
That's
three stupids in 30 seconds.
Anyone drunk yet?
You know what? I think I'm going to suspend operations. The liquor store's open till 10.
10?
Yeah, 10. What do they close at 8 out there, Tim?
Yeah, 1 in the morning. Well, 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning.
That's because you're not a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving state like West Virginia is.
Yeah.
It's 9 o'clock in Wisconsin.
Oh, how depressing.
Well, see, y'all love Jesus.
Wait a minute. Oh, you mean that's when the...
I think we're full by then, so...
Close at 2 and open at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
24 hours.
Yeah, it's like 4 hours of no booze.
Like, I guess you got to restock. You have 4 hours to restock everything, so...
Mm.
Yeah. I think the valve is 24 hours.
Are they?
Yeah. You got to drink anytime you want, especially in a casino.
Well... I've already taken some drugs for today. I don't think I have any others.
Probably want to take more if you're listening to the debate.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I have more fun listening to you all comment about it. At least I can keep my sanity.
I just had a question coming in from Shorty in L.A. Does this debate... remind anyone of the game show Jeopardy?
That's funny.
Shorty says, watch carefully. There are tells. They all know the questions being asked before they're asked.
It does.
It looks like a Jeopardy set. Even right down to the ding ding. You know, oh, sorry. Well, it's 28 minutes past the hour, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to knock off for the evening. You guys go ahead and talk amongst yourselves, and maybe I'll join back in a little bit. But 3.5 hours behind the microphone, and it does get a little tiresome. I don't mean you guys are tiresome. I mean I get tired.
Yes.
Mute.
And there went Tracy. So we'll just move on in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, but I'll stop the live broadcast thereof. All right, stand by, y'all. So thanks everybody for joining in this evening, and thank you all for your kind support. We closed the evening down $64.91 from our evening's fundraising goal. Hopefully, we'll pick that up tomorrow and Friday on the front porch. Friday on the front porch will be coming your way with these or other conversationalists tomorrow evening. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, for your ongoing moderation of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Thank you, Lottie, for your moderation in the chat room alongside Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. It was through John's good offices that we can now say...
Wolverines!
Thank you, John. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.